Hey y'all, it's Garth.
The Big 615. You're going to hear the newest that country music has to offer. At the same time, you're going to hear the newest that the country classics have to offer. I want to hear the new single from George Strait, and I want to hear it right beside the new single from Luke Combs. That's the thing we call the Big 615.
Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. Or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway,
inhaling and long exhale out.
Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
All right, it is a Zach Gelb show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. I think Ricky Ricardo is going to be popping by in just a second. The Spanish play-by-play voice for the New York Yankees and also the Philadelphia Eagles. He was on the call last night as Domingo Germán pitched a perfect game. Hickey, can you be honest? And I know that in the hours that we work, there's probably a good chance that both of us were up for this game. I tuned in, and I want to say it was the seventh inning when I started to realize that he had a perfect game going. And I can't believe how quickly it did go by. Like that ninth inning, if you were just tuning in for the ninth inning, it went on for like 3 minutes, that bottom of the ninth inning. Not even. That was the quickest anticlimactic, and I know that's a weird way to say, ending to a perfect game that we've ever seen, where usually there's some crazy play or there's like a full count and there's some drama that did go on in the ninth inning. That was just absurd how quickly that ninth inning did go by. Were you up for the entire thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The funny part, too, is it's not like it's a no-hitter where, like, the walk doesn't matter. It was a perfect game, so yeah. You would think the A's were, all right, let's try to work the count here, maybe get a walk, anything right
let's
now
lay
to
down
avoid
a bunch.
History. And it's like they're just going with their first pitch hacking. But I forget it. I think it was either the fifth or the sixth. I was watching mostly on TV, and their TV announcer, Ryan Rucco, was like, 18 up, 18 down, or 17 yeah. Maybe, whatever it was. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. So it was like the fifth or sixth inning where my kind of antennas went up, and you see how bad the A's are. And it's like, I know it's still early, but it's like one of those where it's like, oh, this actually is a really good chance to happen because I don't know who on the A's is going to get a hit. They stink.
And it's just so bizarre because we know how bad the A's are. We know the only time those fans show up to that building is when they're boycotting or doing a reverse boycott now because the team's about to be moved with Fisher moving them most likely to Las Vegas. Yeah, sure, the Yankees are in. You always have some Yankee fans that show up. But if you were here on the East Coast, most Yankee fans, because of how late that game did start and it being a work night, didn't end up watching the game. So it's one of those moments where it actually reminds me when we were at the NFL draft 2 years ago and our team threw a no-hitter, which was the second no-hitter in franchise history. And, yeah, we saw the last few batters because someone had an iPad up, but we basically missed that entire thing because we had other obligations. And for many Yankee fans last night, you missed the perfect game because most of you were probably sleeping, Hickey. So it's kind of crazy where there wasn't a great reaction, even though it was on the road in that building, because there wasn't a lot of fans to be there to begin with. I think they said there was like 11 or 12,000 tickets that were sold. There was no way there was 11 or 12,000 people in the building. You know those numbers just because it's tickets sold doesn't mean that's how many people are actually in the building. But it was weird where you know it's a historical moment. You know that it's always going to be something that people are going to remember. And if you were up for it, you're going to remember where you were when you were watching it. But for the most part, most of the people that are Yankee fans found out about it the next day when they woke up to probably, I don't want to say like read the newspaper because it's not going to be the newspaper, just with how late the game was, but they probably woke up to text messages from friends or people waking up in the middle of the night and like, oh, I can't believe, because everyone has those group of like four or five friends that text you when something crazy happens in sports. And I would imagine that a lot of people woke up to text messages today. Oh, there was a perfect game by Domingo Germán last night.
Now, like I said before, obviously, because the hours we work, especially on the East Coast, we're up. So we don't have to be in bed early or waking up at 6 a.m. where you want to get as much sleep as possible. I would be personally very upset at myself if I went to bed like the fourth inning, because I think the Yankees got out to an like early start. Like they're up 4-5-0.
Yeah. And let's be real, Domingo Germán has not been good.
No.
So you're not thinking when he has a perfect game through four, that when it starts to get that thinking of this is attainable, that he's actually going to do it. And here's the other thing. Didn't he finish with 99 pitches?
99, yep.
How many times now does someone have a no-hitter or a perfect game going, and it's like, oh, we got to pull him after 6 2/3 because he's already thrown 120-something pitches. Not good for his arm to be on the mound.
That's why also that feat is even more impressive, because it's rarer and rarer now that you get one single pitcher finishing it off, whether a perfect game or no-hitter. It's been, like you said, last year, the Mets, a combined effort more times than not, or at least it's becoming more popular now, which makes also what he did yesterday is more impressive, because it kind of was like an old school one pitcher, dominant, breezing through, efficient. But yeah, if I was a Yankees fan and I fell asleep or even tried to stay awake and couldn't stay awake, and you find out at 2 a.m. or the next morning you wake up, I would be upset.
And there's a difference between a perfect game and a no-hitter, as we all know. There's only 24 perfect games in the history of Major League Baseball. And there was a stretch where people were wondering, is the perfect game really not that big of a deal anymore? Because there was a stretch where there was like three or four in a season, and King Felix had the last one, and that was over a decade ago. But then the no-hitters, yeah, no, don't get me wrong, a no-hitter is awesome. But from a historical standpoint, there's just something different about the perfect game. But I'll say this, in terms of anything that I would want to attend in person, in sports, I don't think anything tops either a no-hitter or a perfect game. I know the atmosphere wasn't there last night, but if you could be in a building for a no-hitter or a perfect game, and I'm talking about in a regular season accomplishment, you know, if you want to tell me you want to go to the Super Bowl or you want to go to the Final Four, even though it's in a big, stupid football stadium, then I can't really debate you on that. But if you're talking about regular season accomplishments, there's nothing that tops, in my opinion, a perfect game or a no-hitter, Hickey.
Have you ever been close?
Yes, even though I wasn't in the building.
Wait, what?
Yes, even though I wasn't in the building.
Can you explain?
Oh, sure. The night that Johan Santana threw a no-hitter up against the St. Louis Cardinals, I was offered two tickets to go to the game. I would have responded yes. I was late. The person reached out to me like 2 hours before the start of the game. I was in high school, I want to say, right? We were in high school then?
Yes. Yep.
But I was of the age where I could drive, I'm pretty sure.
Senior year.
And it was after school. I fell asleep for like 30 minutes. And when I woke up, I saw the message from my buddy who his dad works for the Mets. I was like, yeah, I'm in. And he goes, already got rid of the two tickets. Couldn't make it tonight. And then, of course... And that was Wainwright Santana that night.
Wow.
So that was like a big deal, right? It's Adam Wainwright against Johan Santana. And then all those pitches later, 130-something pitches later, whatever it was, there was a no-hitter. And I'll tell you, for years, because the Mets at that time never threw a no-hitter in their franchise's history, my dad and I, whenever the Mets would get into like the sixth or the seventh inning with a no-hitter, and he had a press pass, always with the Mets, a season-long press pass, we would always joke like, all right, let's get in the car. If this gets into the seventh inning, quickly drive over to Queens, buy like one ticket from someone off the street, like one of those scalpers that are probably just hanging around the stadium, and then just go in for like the last inning, because we always wanted to be in the building when the Mets threw a no-hitter. So I was very close without being in the building for when Johan Santana finally threw that no-hitter.
That's tough. That is really tough, just because you could have seen history, especially with it being the first one. closest I ever got, Jacob DeGrom last year got to like the sixth inning, I think.
Against the Braves, and then he allowed that home run.
I think it was a no-hitter. I have never been even that, like, I never got to like the fourth inning where it's even like still a possibility. So to get to the sixth, I was like, okay, there's a chance here. And then the home run, ended it. But that was fun. Cause I would say about the fourth inning, there was a legitimate buzz of he's got it. He's firing hard.
Well, he had
he's
it,
making
you,
everyone look silly.
Like, you never knew from a pitch count perspective they were never going to let him continue.
Well, right. But hey, still, to me, I think at this point, I don't know about you, a combined no-hitter is even harder to do than a single pitcher no-hitter.
That's just false.
Why?
Because most of the time, you get to a certain limit where they take that person out of the game.
Right, and then you need to rely on two, three,
fresh
four guys.
Fresh arm coming in.
Well, you could say fresh arm, sure, but also a lot more pressure on you. And we know relievers
That's such a hickey shower no cap
Relievers are erratic. One night they got it, one night they don't. And so to rely on four guys, not just to not allow a run, to not allow a hit, I think to me is way more impressive than a guy who's dialed in, who's got it from the start, that can get in a groove and just continue to get guys out. I think trying to get, like the Mets was last year, five pitchers, I think, when they no-hit the Phillies. To have five guys, but four relievers come in inning after inning, each one, the pressure mounts.
A lot of those guys didn't even know.
Each one have to be sharp.
A lot of those guys didn't even know.
I think, to me, it's a lot harder.
But you even said, I remember having this conversation with you at the draft, and I was like, I can't believe how many of those guys didn't even realize that it was a no-hitter. You're like, oh, I actually believe it. So how much pressure is there actually? Until you get to the guy in the ninth inning.
If you don't know, maybe, sure. But still, I mean, the fact is, like, again, you're a reliever going, I'm not going to give up a run. You're not going, I can't give up a hit here. I just think that's really hard to do.
Does anything compare to a no-hitter or a perfect game being in attendance for in the regular season? Like, one of the craziest things I've ever seen, I know this is at a major championship, but it was when the PGA championship was at Bethpage Black. I saw Lucas Bernajad and Lucas Glover par the hole combined. Lucas Bernajad had a hole-in-one, then Lucas Glover on a par three, put his tee shot in the far right bunker, and then from the sand, holed out. So not only did I see a hole-in-one, which would have been amazing, then you saw a guy birdie and combined, and made a ridiculous shot from the back right trap, and combined, they parred the hole. Like, that was awesome. That's something you could never anticipate. But if you look at basketball, you could say, okay, someone scoring 100, 101 points in a game would be crazy, but that's never going to happen. Right? Kobe all those years ago had 81. You're never getting someone score 100 points in today's NBA in a single game. So it's like, all right, NFL, if you're in attendance to see someone throw 7 or 8 touchdown passes in a game, I don't think that's on par with a perfect game or a no-hitter. If you have someone score like 6 or 7 goals in an NHL game individually, yeah, that's awesome. But it's that collective buzz when you're watching one person inning after inning after inning, 3 up, 3 down, 3 up, 3 down. That, to me, if I could ever pick for a regular season event across any sport to be in a building for, I don't care if it's my team or someone. I don't even care if it's against my team, honestly, Hickey. Even though
that would be... I can't do that.
If it's game like 65 and it means nothing... To be in the building for history, that would be pretty damn cool.
You be rooting if you're at a Mets game and the Mets are getting no hit, it's the eighth inning.
No.
Are you rooting for history to happen?
No. And like the eighth and ninth, I'm like, no. But then if it happens, I'd be like, all right, that was pretty damn cool to be there and be there for it. And I'd be hammering a lot of 0-0 innings, I'll be telling you that. Because I love doing no-run innings when I go to games. I think it's so fun. And you always like win the first three, and then the fourth you get destroyed. Oh, you know what? I probably should bet that they're going to score a run. Nah, I'm not going to do that. 0-0, boom, 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 and away you go. And then you end up walking out of that building winning no money.
That's the moral of the story for gambling. That should be right there. You should be the coach or the advisor for everyone in the NFL.
Yeah.
This is why you don't gamble. It's a net negative.
Well,
you
it's
don't
very simple.
Win.
This is what I would say if I was the gambling coach in the NFL. Yes, we're in bed, all of us. The league, in bed with gambling companies. You can't gamble, though. It's that simple. You know you can't gamble. And it's amazing how many people today are like outraged, Hickey, that there's a hypocrisy going on with the NFL. Out of all leagues, right, there's never any hypocrisies going on in the NFL. Everyone is dumbfounded and thinks it's unfair that Isaiah Rodgers is not going to be out for a year because he gambled on a game that he was playing in, even though, right, he was taking things that were pro-Colts. It's just an issue, and even if you don't think it's a big deal, it's a rule that you can't do it. Like, we all have stupid rules at our jobs where people go, oh, yeah, I don't think that should be a rule, but if you break the rule, there's going to be consequences, and you know what the rules are.
I was actually thinking about this today, and this is maybe if you are someone like Zach is describing where you think this is ridiculous that, you know, you can't gamble. The best way I can describe it is this. Let's say the Zach Gelb Show was sponsored by Blank Vodka. We won't give anyone a free plug, but let's just say Blank Vodka, presenter of the Zach Gelb Show. Hey, look, there's no law saying you can't drink and do the show, right? It's frowned upon. Your business, the boss says no, but there's no law. You're not breaking the law by drinking before you do the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to drink before the show and you told everyone, hey, look, I had 10 shots for the show. Let's talk about Dame. Let's talk about James Harden. No one in their right mind listening would say, oh, yeah, I'm going to take Zach for his word. And everything he says, he believes. Because the guy's half in the bag having 10 shots. Just like in the NFL, if we know, oh, players are gambling outright. Even if there's, like, what, just like when you're drinking, even if you're saying what you believe and it's actually accurate, it's hard for people to believe it because, oh, he's drinking. If people are gambling, even if the outcome is legitimate, everyone's trying their hardest.
Yeah.
There's a question, a playing question, always in the back of your mind. You're going to go, well, is it fixed? Is it rigged? Were they gambling on the spread? Do they have, you know, the over in this game? And now I lost because they let a play up late that cost me the over. The doubt is there. When the doubt is there, all the money is in question. And the integrity is the word I was looking for. The game is gone.
By the way, can I have the audio? Which I never understand what's being said, but it's the best audio that I've ever heard. This is the Yankees Spanish Radio Network, and here is the great Ricky Ricardo at the microphone last night as Domingo Germán had a perfect game. Listen up.
Swing, rolantazo duro, Darren se la tiene, Darren se la primera, perfección, Domingo Germán, San Pedro de Macorís, República Dominicana. El cero en el uniforme y ese es el total que se le pasaron. Cero, cero, perfección, perfecto.
All I'm going to say, the voice of the Yankees is now Ricky Ricardo. John Sterling was off, Michael Kay was off, and the only guy that was actually working that was supposed to be working without having any substitutes, which I'll give credit to Ryan Rucco and a guy that used to do updates for me and Justin Shackle. They both had great calls. Mm-hmm. But Ricky Ricardo needs his moment in the spotlight because he did something that a lot of people don't do anymore. They show up to work.
They show up to work. That's right. No matter if the game's in a dump in Oakland, the Oakland Coliseum. The trip nobody wanted. Well, I mean, Michael's coming back from London, so he's got a built-in excuse, I guess. Coming back from the Cardinal Cub game.
And to be fair, John's like 80-something, so I give
John's
him a pass.
John's not making that trip. John in that booth with, they have possums?
Yeah, well, that's all I could think about in the game last night. Mm-hmm. When I'm watching on TV and I see Ryan Rucco after the game to the interview, I go, how great would it be if the possum popped up? So what was that like for you last night?
You know, it's my second one. I called Roy Halladay's perfect game in Miami. How many years ago was that? 2010?
Yeah, at least a decade ago.
When did Halladay get to the Phils?
Well, after that 2011? His no-hitter?
Either 2010 or 11. Yeah. It was the same year he threw the no-hitter.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So either 10 or 11. So it's been that long between drinks. But last night was good. You know, there's a lot of layers to this because Germán, first of all, had really bad news on Monday about an uncle who was very close to him, almost like a second father, having passed away. He was weeping in the clubhouse, very emotional. So a very difficult last 48 hours before he got on the mound for Domingo, number one. Number two, his last two outings were probably his two worst outings of his career.
That's the crazy part.
At Fenway, they nailed him 6-7 runs, whatever it was in the first couple of innings. The Mariners last week at Yankee Stadium, 10 runs, home runs left and right. For a minute there, knowing that Carlos Rodon is coming back, you know, the kid Brito looked so good when he got another shot. There was a minute there where maybe the name Domingo Germán would come up in, you know, who gets taken
DFA'd
out of the rotation, right? Or maybe even to that extreme, who knows, with the return of Rodon and as well as Brito has been pitching. But I tell you what, he cemented his spot in the rotation last night. It was just magnificent. Great job by Higashioka, you know, calling the game last night. You know, a lot of times the catcher doesn't get as much credit as he deserves when there's a big performance by a pitcher. They had great chemistry.
It's weird to call the final three outs anticlimactic because it's a perfect game. Those were the quickest final three outs in a perfect game that I've ever seen.
Yeah. And the big play, there's always a big defensive play in every, you know, great performance.
Was Rizzo
in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
In the fifth inning where he stole a base hit that would have gone down the line, it would have been a double. There was some solid defense. Donaldson, look, he's got a couple of home runs in the series. Looked really, really good defensively at third base. So say what you want about Donaldson's 130-something batting average, but at least for this series, he pulled his weight. But it was just magnificent. You know, this is the ultimate underdog, Zach. Domingo Germán, you know, remember he got suspended for the incident with the wife after the CC
Domestic
Sabathia
abuse.
Party, where maybe some beverages were consumed that shouldn't have been consumed in the month of September. He was on his way to a 20-win year, but he had 18 wins getting into the month of September. So that kind of knocked him back down a little bit.
The sticky then stuff this year?
This year he gets suspended for a second time for the sticky stuff. So the reputation of Domingo Germán has been stained, to say the least, in the last few years. I've gotten to know him pretty well since he became a Yankee. He is basically your version of a country, real simple country bumpkin type of guy. You know, salt of the earth type of guy. Wonderful human being. Made mistakes. Owned up to them, obviously, and has turned his life around. He's, you know, become very spiritual and he has a family and the whole thing with the wife, you know, cured that. Everything got fixed there. So his personal life has gotten a lot better. And obviously, as a pitcher, when he's on, he is very, very good. And, you know, those two starts notwithstanding against both Boston and Seattle, but he's been pretty good overall this year.
When you look back at last night, you talked about his uncle died 2 days ago, and he was crying in the clubhouse, understandably so, the night before the perfect game and the performance. I'm, as a viewer, I didn't know any of that. And I'm sitting there after the game, and he says it to the translator, and then they reveal it to the YES Network.
Right.
Did you have any idea what he was going through before the game?
No, he kept it very private, as he should.
Yeah.
He kept it very, very private. What I did notice all along last night was I've never seen him, you know, when the camera got up close right before the innings would start or, you know, between at-bats, he was dialed in. He was tuned in a way. His body language last night was very, very different from the Domingo Germán and the starts that I've seen where maybe he's a little distracted or a couple of guys get on and, you know, the mind wanders a little bit, which is only human. Last night, he was locked in with Kyle Higashioka, and he had a mission, a purpose last night that I haven't seen in a long time.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm up against it. I got a few more things for you. Mind holding through a break here? You all right?
Yeah.
All right, just making sure. I know Ricky Ricardo's a big star after being the only guy of the Yankees to actually show up and do his job last night, calling the perfect game. We'll touch on a few more things, even a little Shohei Ohtani stuff. And also, what's going on with the Philadelphia 76ers? Ricky does a lot of radio in Philadelphia as well. Mm-hmm. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
That is the great Ricky Ricardo, who was on the call last night for the Domingo Germán perfect game. The voice of the Yankees, as I like to call him. You look at all the moments that you've had. Mm-hmm. You've called the Phillies, you've called the Yankees, you've called the Eagles. Your favorite calls ever are what? If you had to give me like a four or five of them.
Super Bowl win for
52,
the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's got to rank number one because it was nobody expected it. That's the Patriots, your team. Well, that's a heck of a question. The Roy Halladay perfect game, that was, it was Saturday night. Nobody expected that either. 26,000 people in Miami that night. It was like Latino night or something, you know.
I know the Philly fans is going there, too.
At the old, whatever it was called, at that Land
Shark.
They changed
name 3,000. Land Shark was one of them. Yeah.
So that was great. Obviously, last night, the Corey Kluber no-hitter that he pitched, what was it, last year?
Against the Rangers.
Against the Texas Rangers. The Roy Halladay playoff game against the Cincinnati Reds where he pitches a no-hitter. I mean, that postseason no-hitter is fantastic. And the No Señor game against the Bears for the Eagles.
No Señor! No Señor! No Señor!
Cody Parkey.
The double doink.
Misses the field goal. And
how do you say double doink in Spanish?
Doble doink. You know, it was interesting about the call last night.
Yeah.
I played off of Domingo. This is, you know, the kind of guy
he is. Yeah, tell us what you actually said.
Domingo twice has had to give up his uniform number because of guys that have come in. I mean, Rodon last year was the latest when he had to give up his 55. Before that, he was 57 or something like that. But he's had to give his number up twice to incoming Yankees. So this time, I think Domingo said, you know what? I'm going to pick a number that I know nobody's ever going to want. Give me zero. Right? So it's also the O in Domingo and the zero. But last night when I made the call, I said, you know, he wears zero, and that's how many got on tonight. Zero. Perfecto. Zero.
It's a great call.
Domingo Germán.
When did you know that it was going to happen?
Seventh inning.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had him eating out of his hands. He really did. The Oakland A's hitters had no clue what was coming. That's why a lot of credit to Higashioka. Called a tremendous game.
Now, I always love this broadcaster jinx that people say, where your job is to describe what's going on, and people, you tell them that it's a perfect game. They're like, uh-oh, he just ruined it. Did you have that happen?
No. It crossed my mind last night, but I'll tell you why. The Yankees were already up, 6-7-0 in the sixth inning. It's Yankees A's midweek. New York audience is probably going to go to sleep.
No reason to stay listening.
No reason to stay other than this.
To listen to you.
So to be able to hold the audience, I had to come out and say, listen, don't go to bed, folks. There's a perfect game going on here. Because my fear was, you know, 70% of the audience is probably snoring and are going to miss what might happen here. So I took the risk of, because I wouldn't have been able to live with myself with the guilt of I jinxed them. But I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it clear that it's a perfect game to hold the audience because with this big of a lead, Oakland midweek, I'm going to lose 70, 80% of the people that were listening are going to go to sleep and they're going to miss this. So I took the risk, quote unquote, risk of, you know, of staining my reputation with Mingo and everybody else of jinxing it. I said, it's a perfect game. Don't go to sleep. He came through for me.
The real voice of the Yankees, Ricky Ricardo, he fears no one.
Nothing.
So you shouldn't fear jinxes. Come on. That's so lame.
I do. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'm more superstitious than the most superstitious person you're ever going
to
meet.
Two more things before we get you out of here. Yeah. Ricky Ricardo here with us. Ohtani, Angels have a chance to make the playoffs.
Yes.
The season end today. They think they'd be the third wild card team. Now, they have no assurance if he's going to be back next year because he's a free agent. What do you think the Angels do? I think they keep him.
I think they're going to try their best to keep him. I think they've got to buy at the trade deadline. They've got to buy some pitching.
They need some pitching.
They need to be buyers at the trade deadline. If Artie Moreno, who has decided not to sell the team after, you know, putting it through the ringer to see what would happen, if he's going to hold on to that team, then he's got to keep Ohtani. So he's got to buy some pitching at the trade deadline and really just go all out to try to get into this postseason. And that'll be the only lure to keep Ohtani. That he's going to have to pay the guy $70 million a year because it's two players, basically. But he's going to have to buy some pitching, get into this postseason. Houston's vulnerable. I'm not buying Texas 100% yet, although they look good, but their bullpen stinks.
This is wide open.
Right?
The only team in baseball that I fear is Atlanta right now. It's the only team.
The Braves they look leak-proof. They really do. But the American League, Toronto, Texas.
Central stinks.
The Central, you're going to have the one team out of the Central, so I think the Angels have to go put all their chips in the middle of the table, Moreno, buy some pitching, get Ohtani into the postseason, and then negotiate. What's that window they've got? before you can become a free at the end of the season, like 3 days, 5 days, whatever it is.
You better hammer out
you
the
better
deal.
Hammer out a deal in those 3 to 5 days and keep him in Anaheim.
So you do a lot of radio in Philadelphia as well, mm-hmm. for Sports Radio 94.
Goodbye,
WIP.
James.
Yeah, James Harden.
Goodbye.
He opts in and then he's going to get traded.
Yeah.
So you say goodbye, and I understand they were never winning a championship with James Harden, but I'm just fascinated. What do they do next? Because I don't care who you're not getting a star back for James Harden.
No.
So it's almost like damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't think it's a great day, but I don't think it's an awful day. It probably would have been best if they could have just found the best of both worlds and get like a 2-year extension or something done.
If they can get Tobias Harris, which is what I've heard, that the Clippers are interested in both.
Yeah.
Harris and Harden. If you can get both of those contracts.
For the price of one.
If you get both of those contracts out of there, then let you know, Daryl Morey works some magic, you know, with some cap room, and we'll see.
Got to be Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Would you trade Maxie to go get Dame Lillard?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
So then you're not getting Dame Lillard?
No. No, Lillard's going to end up in Miami. You know that.
Probably. I think so.
He's going to end up in
if
Miami.
If Dame is willing to say, I actually want out. I've never seen a guy that says he wants to win, but doesn't actually try to go win somewhere more than Dame Lillard.
No, I think he'll end up with the Heat.
So last night, real quickly, in 30 seconds, how do you kind of just look back at being on the call for the perfect game?
Well, blessed, obviously, for the opportunity, but more than anything, happy, not so much for my call.
That you didn't take off?
Well, yeah. And I thought about it, too. I have some things to do home in Florida, and I almost took that series off. But I'm more happy for Domingo Germán. If there's ever a guy, okay, that deserves a little adulation, okay, and to have a special moment come his way after everything he's been through, it's Domingo Germán. I am thrilled for him more than anything else. Obviously, a big win. You don't want to lose a series against the A's after blowing the first game 2-1. But for Domingo Germán, who I've gotten to know so well since he became a Yankee, I am thrilled for that young man. He's got a smile on his face. You know, from ear to ear, you could see it all day. Was signing autographs mm-hmm. all day. The cameras were following him around at the Coliseum. And I am looking forward to his first start at Yankee Stadium, which will probably be Monday night in a very important series against the Orioles coming up for this, you know, 4th of July weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing the fan reaction to Domingo Germán on the mound Monday night in the Bronx.
So if you did take off, because I know John Sterling was off last night, Michael Kay was off, who does mm-hmm. the English TV and radio, both those guys. What's going through your mind today?
Oh, I would have wanted to slip my wrist. Are you kidding me? No. Yeah, no way.
Well, heck of a call. It's the best call that I've heard out there.
Thank you, my friend.
There he is, Ricky Ricardo.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Man, Hickey's trying to put me to sleep with this rejoin music, so let's bring some energy into the building with Justin Termini from Sirius XM NBA Radio. JT, what's happening?
Zach, just trying to get through the day. How about you?
Well, I'm doing well. I got to start you off with Harden, then we'll get to the craziness of this Durant-Kyrie Irving relationship still. What was your reaction today when we finally got the answer that Harden is opted in and now it looks like Philadelphia is going to look to get rid of him and trade him?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing after he has a bad game in the postseason. It's more of the same, right? So I was unsurprised because it seems like this guy just keeps racking up the trade demands. And I know this one's a little bit different because, you know, he could have just left by a free agency, had the team option. But it is like semi another trade request for James Harden. He's just hopping around the country from one stop to a next. It'd be nice if he settled down in his roots and didn't blame other people and tried to make the best of a situation. So that's like one takeaway from it. But then I think the serious one is it's not even about James Harden. It's about how this impacts Joel Embiid. And if this makes Philadelphia worse and Embiid sees Jokic win the championship, he keeps getting compared to him. He can't get out of the second round again as a result of maybe Philadelphia taking a little bit of a step back and not being able to replace a guy who, say what you want about him, is a 20-10 guy. what does this do to Embiid, and does he eventually in the next year or so request a trade? So I think that's the biggest outcome of this and impact is what does this mean for Joel Embiid?
Yeah, I 100% agree, and it wouldn't surprise me in a year or two from now if Embiid just says, okay, I'm done with the Sixers. Let me go somewhere else to try to go win a championship. The thing that I struggle here when you look at what Harden is going to do now, it's like I look at it and I go, okay, there's no way that Daryl Morey should have given him a four-year deal, but if you get rid of him, what are you going to get back into return? And I just don't see, outside of finding a way to go get Damian Lillard another deal, how the Sixers actually get better for this upcoming season.
Exactly. With you know, the pressure of having to impress Embiid, or also eventually maybe he asks out, as we talked about. And I really like Tyrese Maxey, and I think Maxey could get better once Harden leaves and he's got the ball in his hands a little bit more. But Tyrese Maxey is not good enough to be the second best player on a championship team, even if he is playing with the MVP. I mean, historically, look at who's been the number two on championship teams. I think we saw Andrew Wiggins maybe a couple of years ago, might have been the worst number two on a championship team I can remember in a while. And I'm not even sure that Tyrese Maxey is that, because he can't defend at the level of Andrew Wiggins, and you know, Embiid certainly isn't as good as Steph. So it's going to be a tough year, I would think, depending on what they do with Harden. But I can't envision it being somebody they get in return for Harden that's better than Maxey.
Out of 100%, where's your percentage at, Justin Termini, that somehow, some way, the Sixers wind up with Damian Lillard?
Jeez, I would say I still don't feel confident in that, because you know, and even if they do, Maxey's going to have to be a part of that deal. They're not doing the deal for James Harden. And if you're dealing Tyrese Maxey to get Lillard and you're also losing Harden, I'm not sure if that, you know, makes you better than Milwaukee or Boston, or certainly not Denver coming out of the West.
Do you think Damian Lillard would actually get traded? Because when I look at this stuff with Dame, we keep on hearing about it, and he keeps on giving the benefit of the doubt to the Portland Trailblazers, even though he should want out, Justin Termini. I still think Damian Lillard's going to be there come the first game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to Portland might even want to deal him. They just don't want to be the bad guy. They want him to say it, and it doesn't seem like he wants to say it. But again, I'm not going to rip Damian Lillard. I'll rip, like, the coverage of this, and I'm getting sick of talking about it every day. But I'm not going to rip Damian Lillard for, like, being loyal, and I tweeted this a couple of minutes ago. I'm going to rip the guys that keep bouncing around the country from team to team, signing contracts, don't honor the damn things, or bouncing around from super team to super team. And as of this point, Lillard hasn't done that. He's actually been the one guy that stays put, which is we as fans should want. Even if he does ask out, I mean, it'll be after 11 years in an organization that really hasn't been run great, so I won't even blame him. It's not like he's Kawhi Leonard asking to leave a good organization in San Antonio, then he's asking to leave a good situation in Toronto, or James Harden, like, you know, I want out from Philadelphia where I'm playing with the MVP. I'd still give him the benefit of the doubt.
If you do see James Harden going and landing with the Clippers, I know we don't know how long Kawhi Leonard's going to be out, and you got Paul George there as well. Is that even a fit?
It's three guys that want the ball, and it's certainly a situation where Russell Westbrook's not going to come back. And you know, the one thing I'll say about James Harden, because I am very critical of him, is at least, like, he loves to play. Typically, the guys out there on the floor a lot. And that's not something you could say for the other Clipper guys. But like, for example, I could see him fitting in there better than like with the Knicks. Cause I saw that report originally from Adrian Wojnarowski where he's like, oh, two teams that are expected to be interested are the Clippers and the Knicks. Okay. I could see it from the Clippers perspective. If the Knicks make that move, that's incompetency on their front office, because one, you got Jalen Brunson. I think Brunson's a better culture guy, and I think Brunson's a better player than James Harden right now, and he's got to run your offense, not James Harden. And two, if you're the Knicks, you shouldn't be using your assets on James Harden. You should be using it on a younger star that might become available, more specifically, Joel Embiid, if he gets upset at the end of this year.
And also, the man that used to represent Joel Embiid was Leon Rose.
So he's got the relationship there.
So let me get to this Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving stuff. I saw earlier today Chris Haynes reported that Kyrie Irving will meet with the Phoenix Suns. Kevin Durant's got to be the biggest idiot on the planet if he now doubles down on Kyrie Irving and makes sure that he joins him out in the desert in Phoenix.
No, that was my initial response, too. Like, of all the responses, my initial response was, why the hell would Kevin Durant want this? If Kevin Durant does do this, he deserves to lose. He deserves everything he gets. And I feel that way about the organizations as well. Now, I guess the organization can say, well, we can change him, right? Like, those other teams didn't know how to handle them. We can do it. That's what Dallas did a little bit because they got the relationship between their GM, Nico Harrison, and Kyrie from their days with Nike. But even them deserve to be criticized when things ultimately go south, and they will. I said the same thing about Brooklyn, Sean Marks. They knew what they were getting when they signed him because the guy was a loose cannon in Boston. I had heard stuff even before he was dealt to the Celtics that told me that they shouldn't want him. Danny Ainge did it anyway, so he should be criticized. But if Kevin Durant goes back to the well twice, then ultimately, like you said, an idiot, because like Danny Ainge did it once. I don't think Danny Ainge would sign up for it again. Sean Marks did it once. Don't think he'd sign up for it again. So like him signing up for it twice, a joke.
How would this even work financially?
Yeah, I don't think that it can, unless Kyrie's going to take a significant pay cut, or there's other weird ways to do it under the CBA. But and Chris Haynes laid it out in the article. I don't think this is something that's really happening. I can't see Phoenix even wanting it, even if they got the guy for free, because they don't need like a guy who doesn't play any defense, needs the basketball, is a scorer. Doesn't do the small things that lead to winning. They need depth. They need size. They need length. They need defense. They need somebody to do like the dirty work. So I don't even think that Phoenix wants it. If Phoenix is meeting with him, I think two things. One, maybe it's Durant doing something for his buddy, throwing him a bone, help his value. And then two, maybe it's Phoenix trying to run up the price on Dallas so they have to overpay him, and it kind of hurts Dallas in the long term when they've got a guy that's pretty scary in the Western Conference of Luka Doncic.
And even though I don't trust Kyrie Irving, it's almost like the Mavericks, since they already made the investment, now they have to find a way to keep Kyrie Irving there, because if you don't have someone else that comes in and who's really available, you run that risk of Luka Doncic maybe wanting out.
Oh, I think them signing Kyrie to like a long-term deal is them signing, basically Luka to it's them signing off on Luka asking for a new team.
It goes both ways, right?
Exactly. Like, they're in a lose-lose situation. They're an absolute disaster right now. And the funny part about it is you got Kristaps Porzingis, who, if Jason Tatum, is able to utilize him and find a way to make him good and contribute to winning, what does that make Luka? I mean, Luka couldn't get that much out of him, and Porzingis was great at the age of 27 in Washington. You got Jalen Brunson, who leaves there as the best player in a team that gets to the second round and looks like he's a brilliant playoff performer. So just a complete disaster in Dallas, and signing up for more of Kyrie. Again, I know multiple people wouldn't take the guy for free, including people that have coached and run front offices in the NBA, would not take the guy for free.
How about that? Last thing for Justin Termini from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Is Middleton going to be back with the Bucks, in your opinion?
Yeah, because they have no choice. Even if they don't want to throw that money at him, same thing with Brook Lopez. Giannis is up for an extension in September, I believe. And if they don't give Middleton the money and keep him on the team, same thing for Brook Lopez, Giannis is going to start going, how do I win here? So ultimately, yes, he will be there, and so will Brook Lopez, in my opinion.
There he is, Justin Termini from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Appreciate the time as always, my friend.
All right, Zach. Appreciate you having me on, buddy.
There you go. Justin Termini joining us on the show. So we get the answer on James Harden, that James Harden's going to opt in for the $35.6 million with the Sixers, and he'll get traded somewhere else. He's not eligible for an extension since he opted in, and Bobby Marks explained that with what happened last year. And you look at the Sixers, it's almost, damned if you do, damned if you don't, in terms of bringing back James Harden, let him go somewhere else. It's the same kind of thing with Kyrie Irving and the Mavericks, Hickey. Because you look at it, if you don't give a long-term deal, Luka's going to say, well, that's the guy that you wanted to bring him to pair me up with next, and they weren't able to keep him. But then if you do bring him back, Kyrie will eventually drive Luka Doncic crazy, and the thing will blow up because Kyrie Irving will quit on the team. So that's the real name, Luka Doncic. I know everyone's talking about Damian Lillard now, but Luka Doncic, in a year or two, is going to be made available, because I know Mark Cuban's a good owner, but Luka Doncic will eventually want out of the Dallas Mavericks.
I guess the only thing I could say is if you don't re-sign him, which again is still the right move, but if you don't re-sign him, you got to then at least have a plan of, hey, we're going to target Embiid in a year or two. We're going to target Giannis if he doesn't sign the extension in September in a year. I think you could sell Luka on I think he would be patient in a year or two if that's who you're kind of, if you go big game hunting. If you say, hey, we're not going to re-sign Kyrie, also we're going to sit in our hands, we got nothing else, I think that's when it really gets dangerous.
And he's still under contract for three more years before you get to the player option in 2026, 2027 when it comes to Luka Doncic. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we'll do a little college football fix. Kalen DeBoer is going to join us, and Hickey is fist pumping over some irrelevant baseball game for a team that he's watching that absolutely sucks.